This is Andrew Schultz. I'm the sales manager for CHS Ag Services. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good morning, farm news here on the Red River Farm Network. Sunshine and highs in the 70s are on the way today. That's after another round of severe weather in portions of the northern plains yesterday and last night. Tornadoes reported in a few areas, including North Dakota's Cavalier County and Minnesota's Norman County. Numerous hail reports also seen, including hail measuring 2.5 to 3.5 inches in diameter in North Dakota's Walsh County. Scattered storms possible again tomorrow afternoon and evening, but there will be an even better chance of severe weather on Thursday. According to NDON, rainfall totals over the past 24 hours, including 1.29 inches at Wishick, North Dakota, 73 hundredths at Morris, Minnesota, Grand Forks just shy of 4 tenths, Crookston 32 hundredths, at Langdon 27 hundredths, 1/4 inch in the rain gauge at Jamestown, 2 tenths at Ada, and both Fargo and Roseau reporting 13 hundredths. The condition of the U.S. corn crop improved week over week, while soybean condition ratings are unchanged.
It was not extreme heat. It was actually generally favorable temperatures in the 80s to near 90 degrees in most cases. And so that was actually positive for rapid crop development.
That's USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey. 73% of the corn nationwide in good to excellent condition as of Sunday, up 3% from a week ago. Soybean conditions held steady at 66% good to excellent. 53% of the spring wheat is in good to excellent condition. Due to drought conditions in Montana and the Pacific Northwest, that spring wheat is far below where it was last year at this time.
Looking at spring wheat headed, we did pass the halfway mark sometime in early July, and we're already up to 61% headed by July 6th. That is ahead of the five-year average of 58%, even further ahead of last year's 56%.
Nearly 40% of the U.S. winter wheat crop has been harvested, 15 points behind last year's pace of 52%. The winter wheat harvest is 80% complete in Texas, 71% done in Oklahoma. According to the weekly USDA crop progress report, 62% of North Dakota's corn is in good to excellent condition. That's a 3% improvement over last week. Soybeans slipped 1%. It's 56% good to excellent. Nearly 25% of North Dakota's soybeans are blooming. 60% of the spring wheat is headed, up from 32% last week. The dry edible bean crop perked up with 55% of the crop now called good to excellent, an 8% improvement over last week. 67% of the canola has at top rating, down from 71% last week. Nearly 70% of North Dakota's canola is blooming. 83% of the sugar beets and 67% of the sunflowers are called good to excellent. Minnesota's topsoil moisture rated 71% adequate to surplus, down from 80% last week. The Minnesota farmers, they had 4 days suitable for field work this past week. 70% of the topsoil considered adequate, 23% surplus. The corn and soybean conditions are unchanged from last week at 74 and 73% respectively, good to excellent. 80% of the spring wheat has that top rating, down 7% from last year at this time. Nearly 60% of the spring wheat is headed. Over 90% of Minnesota's dry bean crop and 82% of the sugar beets are rated good to excellent. 28% of the second cutting of alfalfa is complete. And USDA is reporting 72% of South Dakota's corn and 68% of the state's soybeans are in good to excellent condition. That's a small week-over-week improvement for both crops. 55% of the spring wheat has the top rating, down 4% from last week. 96% of the spring wheat is headed, far ahead of the average for this state of 84%. Only 44% of South Dakota's pasture ground is in good to average condition. That's up from 36%, though, just some 2 weeks ago. Many of the wheat fields scouted this past week in Minnesota had reached anthesis. The report from the University of Minnesota Extension small grain specialist Joachim Wiersma said low levels of tan spot, wheat stem maggots, cereal aphids, and barley dwarf virus have been seen. Bacterial leaf streak also being reported for the first time this season. The high winds associated with thunderstorms will likely mean that disease will be spreading rapidly. In identical letters, the Trump administration said it will impose a 25% tariff on all products from Korea and Japan shipped to the United States. If these countries choose to retaliate with higher tariff rates, President Trump said the U.S. would likely retaliate in kind. Japan and South Korea are major buyers of U.S. ag products. Trump is also reporting the U.S. is very close to securing a trade deal with India. Agriculture and dairy are some of the remaining hurdles with India. The Midwest Council on Agriculture is encouraged by the budget reconciliation bill signed by President Trump last week. Given the uncertainty of Congress passing another farm bill, President Perry Osnes said this bill provides long-term certainty and expanded support for farmers in the region. The council helped draft the crop insurance improvements that ended up in the mega bill. The bill also includes a continuation of the 2017 tax provisions and addresses the 45Z production credit, the estate tax, and bonus depreciation. The budget reconciliation package includes many provisions for agriculture. However, Corn Refiners Association President and CEO John Bode says the USDA BioPreferred program was one of the few left out. That program certifies products as being made from biomaterial.
We need that program to be extended to help grow the bioeconomy, and that's really starting to take off. We're on track so far this year to have a 26% increase in the number of certified products. And so it is taking off. We just need to get this program extended.
Bode says that could be part of a so-called skinny farm bill or in some other legislative mechanism.
The last resort, I would say, would be a continuing resolution.
A wild day of trading yesterday left the grain markets reeling. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Tyler Donaldson has that story.
More tariff news from Washington over the weekend had quite an impact on the grains markets during yesterday's trading session. The Money Farm owner Allison Thompson says the latest tariff news to come out of Washington has put pressure on the markets, but really, traders are just searching for some positive news.
We did get some tariff news Sunday night about some of these tariffs. They're not going to be extending the deadline past Wednesday. It's not going to be extended, and they're actually looking at increasing some of the tariffs for those who have not come to the table and negotiated. So what those are, we're slowly kind of getting released on what those potential tariff numbers could be going forward, but hopefully we see some trade deals come through as well. The trade really needs something new.
And Thompson says there's still a lot to look out for this week that could affect the markets.
We'll see where the funds are trading here. I think with last week, it wouldn't be surprising that we see them bought a little bit more or lighten their short positions, but obviously who knows what it could be. And then of course Friday we do have a WASDE report that'll take into account acreage and things like that, so there could definitely be some surprises still ahead of the trade here this week as we go forward. So
Thompson advises taking a slow approach and not overreacting to the current market situation.
I just recommend not to panic here. I think it's an overstated reaction to the little news that we got here over the weekend. So, and with holiday trade here, we are still seeing some lighter volume, and that always kind of can push markets further than you'd like. But I'd say there's definitely some panic going on, and we're just seeing that carry over across the board.
For the Red River Farm Network, I'm Tyler Donaldson.
USDA has reopened one of the ports of entry to Mexican cattle. Others will be phased in over a matter of months. That border's been closed since early May due to the threat of New World screwworm. National Cattlemen's Beef Association CEO Colin Woodall said his organization supports Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins' decision to do a phased-in reopening of the border. New World screwworm is a serious pest, but Woodall downplays the overall risk.
This is not a plague of flies of biblical proportions coming our way. That this is what we are seeing down in Mexico, little pops of one or two flies. And one of the things that we're seeing is because of the Mexican government stepping up and doing a better job of allowing the flights, 44 flights a week that are dropping 117 million sterile flies, that it does seem to have slowed things down.
The screwworm, just many of the topics being discussed at the NCBA summer meeting. It's underway now in San Diego. And Neil Fisher, who's been on the staff of the North Dakota Wheat Commission since 1977, has retired. Jim Peterson, who's been the Policy and Marketing Director, moving up to take over the administrator job. Good morning and welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Soybean aphids are a concern for growers this year. NDSU Extension entomologist Jan Knodel talks about some of the issues that those aphids can cause.
Soybean aphid is our number one pest of soybeans, and it's usually found on the underside of the leaves. They feed by sucking the sap, leading to stunted plants, reduced pods, and seeds. Another problem we have with the aphids is that they've developed resistance to the pyrethroid insecticides. So you want to consider alternatives like Transform WC, Safina, and Savanto Prime.
Knodel says there are some workarounds to the resistance issue.
So there's several things we recommend to reduce the development of insecticide resistance in soybean aphids, and that is scouting the fields regularly, use the threshold to aid in decision making, preventing unnecessary insecticide applications and conserve natural enemies, avoid using the lowest rate of insecticides on the label, use the higher rate. Do not use a pre-mix insecticide containing two insecticides of two different modes of actions, because pre-mixes typically have a lower amount of active ingredient per the insecticide.
Judge Stephen Vaden has been sworn in as Deputy Agriculture Secretary. Vaden is a Tennessee native who's been working at the United States Court of International Trade. He also served at USDA during the first Trump administration. And the OPEC Plus countries have decided to increase crude oil production by 548,000 barrels per day starting August 1st, as well above the expectations heading into their most recent meeting. Checking in on markets, we are continuing with the weakness we saw yesterday. The Minneapolis wheat down by 4¾ cents for September, 632.5. The Chicago wheat September down 3¼. Hard red winter wheat September down 4¾. September corn 2¼ lower, 401¼. New crop corn down 3¼ cents. The soybeans September 10.08¾. That's 4¾ cents lower. November new crop beans down 4 cents at 10.16¾ cents. Checking in on the farm calendar. The Minnesota FFA Day at the Twins is coming up this upcoming Sunday at Target Field. Twins taking on the Pirates, Pittsburgh Pirates. So a day of baseball and a chance to share the FFA spirit. There will be some red carpet treatment for the FFAers, a pregame parade on the field, some complimentary things going on, so make sure you contact your state FFA Foundation for more details on this Sunday's game, the Minnesota FFA Day at the Twins. And the NDSU Extension Research Centers have their field days coming up. Their sessions will begin next week on the 14th, next Monday, at the Central Grasslands Research Center. Next week they're in Hettinger, Dickinson, Williston. Then the following week they'll be on the eastern side of the state, Carrington, Langdon, Oaks, and more. Have a great day. This is the Red River Farm Network.